this evening, I would like to invite you to go with me on a captivating journey through time, unveiling the details of a painting using state-of-the-art techniques in art reconstruction. This artwork serves as a relic from a bygone era. 6 centuries ago, in an obscure church near Nuremberg, devout visitors would have marveled at its magnificence. They would have been spellbound by the depiction of the crucified Christ, tenderly flanked by his grieving mother Mary and the youthful apostle John the Evangelist. The blood flowing from Christ's wounds, cascading into chalices held by angels, would have drawn their gaze, and we can see a detail of the angel over here. It catches the blood dropping from the wound in Christ's right hand, and this angel catches the blood of the side wound from Christ. And of course, this blood is a very significant iconographical detail on the painting, referring to the salvation through the sacrifice of Christ. And I will come back to this later. Though many skilled hands have taken good care of the artwork over the centuries, today's museum displays differ significantly from the version of the painting that was witnessed by the 15th century visitors. Recent restoration treatments unveiled a hidden secret. Beneath the visible azurite blue layer lies a concealed golden background. 6 centuries ago, this panel bore no trace of the present blue backdrop. Instead, it was an altarpiece entirely cloaked in gold. And this is a significant finding that explains why the stream of blood coming from the side wound of Christ is interrupted, as you can see over here. This discovery sparked a debate on the rightful path of restoration. Is removing the blue layer an act of revealing historical accuracy? Or should it be preserved as part of the panel's storied past? The blue paint, applied shortly after the artwork's creation, stands as part of the painting's narrative. The decision to cover the gold might have been motivated by shifting taste or the deteriorating condition of the golden background. Eradicating it erases a layer of significance and a pivotal event in the artwork's life. However, preserving the blue layer denies us the earliest rendition of the painting. It literally covers up part of the iconographical message of the painting. So, today I want to propose an out-of-the-box solution for this complex problem. What if we could time travel using an interdisciplinary approach, integrating art history, technical art history, restoration expertise, and modern 3D technologies? Our journey starts with a 3D scan of the panel, utilizing the Lucida 3D scanner from Factum Foundation, based in Madrid. This scanner captures the topography, the relief of the panel, in a grayscale depth map in very high resolution, 100 micrometers. The color information was captured using panoramic composite photography. And here you see Carlos Bayot, who is here with us today, so you can ask him everything you want about this during dinner. And he's overseeing the scanning in the depot of Museum Catharijne Convent. The next phase entailed reconstructing the golden background within the digital model. And this required adjusting not only the color information of the digital model, but also the topography of the panel painting for optimal results. The blue layer reveals traces of a technique known as tremolierung. And this is identifiable by crescent-like incisions, a sort of fish scaling, it looks like, resulting from a rocking motion with a knife or with a gouge. And this tremolierung made sure that the gold placed upon it reflected the light in multiple directions. And this was an important aspect of the painting, of which I will come back later. To restore the depth of the tremolierung, a virtual elimination of the blue paint layer was executed by adjusting the geometry of the virtual model, essentially heightening the contrast of the surface map. A manual review ensured the preservation of the original tremolierung direction. And here you can see the head of John and the 3D scan next to it. And between the tendrils, you can see the relief of the tremolierung that we have brought back in the digital model. The ultimate stage involved transitioning the digital model into the physical realm. And today, I present you the result of this transition, the 3D prints of the two versions of the Lindau crucifixion, one facsimile with a blue background and the other facsimile with a golden background. These facsimiles are a fusion of technological innovation and high-quality craftsmanship. First, the painting surface was 3D printed. Secondly, it was molded with a liquid silicone. This mold was then used for a cast to a gesso-based flexible skin. The color was printed on the surface with a flatbed printer in multiple layers, and the gold leaf had to be manually added using a traditional polymer. And we see that over here. We see the red ball that is the basis for the gold leaf. The final step involved printing the contour lines and the craquelure on the gold surfaces. And this went so far as manually extending the craquelure on the restored part of the golden background of the facsimile. And the final step was the fixation of the flexible skin onto a resin board with the original's curved shape. In this detail, you can see the effect of the reconstruction of the tremolierung around the head of St. John. The tremolierung on the golden facsimile has significantly more definition and depth. So, why is this important? Producing the restored facsimile adds a new dimension to the discussion on restoration treatments. We do not need invasive, irreversible measures like removing the blue layer to get a glimpse of the original appearance. We can literally travel back in time. Yet, these facsimiles are more than relics of a forgotten past. They offer insights in how medieval paintings were perceived. For example, viewing the medieval panel painting today in a museum with well-controlled LED lighting fails to capture the vitality originally intended by medieval craftsmen. Panel paintings with a golden background manipulated the light by reflecting it in different directions. They are objects that linger between the representation of paradise and the physical reality. And the lights of the hundreds of candles that was once reflected by our panel painting added mystique and depth to this work. Suggesting to place hundreds of candles in a museum around a centuries-old, fragile wooden object elicits predictable reactions from curators. And I see curators here nodding, no, won't happen. However, with facsimiles, we can experiment without endangering the original. We can investigate how both versions of the painting are perceived by the audience using mobile eye tracker systems, Tobii glasses. We will analyze the difference between both facsimiles. For example, does the eye of the onlooker get pulled more to the blood on the facsimile with the golden background? And we will experiment in a church with the effect of the hundreds of candles that were used in the medieval rituals to investigate differences in perception between stable LED lighting versus unstable candlelight. In concluding our journey through time, I want to emphasize one vital point. Science thrives on collaboration, and the success of this project lies in the dedicated individuals behind it. Caroline van der Elst, the restorer of the painting, Micha Leeflang, the curator of Museum Catharijneconvent, Lieselore Thiessen, my project partner from University of Leiden and TU Delft, Ruben Wiersma from TU Delft, and of course Carlos Bayot and his colleagues from Factum Foundation. Together with this interdisciplinary group, we have ensured that the facsimiles that you can see outside stand as some of the finest achievements within our capabilities. And I firmly believe that we can only unveil the unseen through collaboration between colleagues from both Alpha and Beta in art history. Thank you.